Pei Gimel Amud Aleph in Ervin, and we're going to start right mamash at the top. So the Gemara says, Tani, we learned in a brayso, v'chatzi chatzia, l'tame tumas oichli. So in the Mishnah we had listed a couple of shiurim. We learned what a pras is. A pras is a half a loaf of bread, and a half of that is, so that was the amount that you need for an Erev. A half of a loaf of bread is the amount that you need to wait in a Tamei house in order to make your Kalim Tamei. And half of that is if you eat that amount, this is what the Mishnah lists. If you eat that amount, you become Tamei also and you can't eat Truma until you go to the Mikvah. So this Brisa is bringing a shear, which is half of that half of a half amount. So a quarter of that, an eighth of that amount, is the Latame Tumas Oichlin, is the amount that a size of the food has to be in order for that food to carry tumah, to be able to be matame something else. Okay, so the half of that egg, which is approximately, what we're going to see, is about 2 eggs worth, the size of approximately 2 eggs. So the Gemara's first question is, V'tani tidan, my time aloy tani, tumas oichlin. Why didn't our Tana also bring this? If we're just going half to half to half, why don't we go the next step to half of that for tumas oichlin? So the Gemara answers, "Mishum de lo shav yeshu rayu," because it's not really a precise amount, as we'll see, as the Gemara will take it apart, and we'll see that it's not an amount that really actually fits squarely into the half amounts that we've been discussing beforehand. In other words, it doesn't. The shear that we're going to use for the Tumas Oichlin is not really exactly half of the amount that we're using to measure the half for how much you have to eat to become tummy. How is that? The Tanya we learned in the Brisa, so the Gemara is actually going to set up for us what each of the shiurim is, and you'll see that it doesn't equal. It's not half. The Tanya we learned in the Brisa. Kama shir chatzi pras. How much is that half a pras that we're talking about? Beis beitzim. Chosar kimba. It's approximately, or close to the amount of the size of 2 eggs minus just a drop. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's where Rabbi Yehuda comes out, because again, Rabbi Yehuda goes with the cheshbon that there are 24 bayim to the pras, the loaf of bread, so it's about a half a loaf of bread. Rabbi Yossi Amar Beis Beisim Soich Gois. Rabbi Yossi says it's two large eggs. So it's not only 2 eggs, but it's actually large eggs. Fine. So Shir Rebbe Beis Beitzim Va'oid, and Rebbe said when you want to measure that out, it comes out to 2 eggs and a little bit more. Kama Va'oid, how much is that little bit more? Echad Me'esrim Va'bei, it's 1 out of 20, it's the Rashi that the Gersa we're going to use. It's 1/20th more than the regular size eggs. Fine. So now we know how much a Chatzi Pras is. A Chatzi Pras is a give or take 2 eggs, either a little bit more or a little bit less. Now, the ilu gabe tumas oichlin, and when we're measuring the size of how much the food has to be in order for it to be matam is something else, Tanya, we learned in a different brisa. Reb Nosin, Reb Doisa, Amru, they both said, kebeya sha'amru, when we talk about the egg, we're talking about kemoya ukukli pasa. It's the amount that the egg would take up with its shell, which, if you do the math, is slightly larger than half. It's larger than what a half of the chatzi pras is, because the half of the chatzi pras we said before was a little bit less than 2 eggs. So half of that should be less. It should be something close to 3/4 of an egg. And here we're talking about an egg plus its shell, so it doesn't work. It's not really half. The chachamim likely pass off, and the chachamim say it's an egg without its shell, which is too small. Amarav from Bar Papa. Amarav Chista, Zu Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, V'Rabbi Yosi. This is all according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi when we're talking about the cheshbon of how many eggs to the calf. Aval Chachamim Omrim Kebeya U'Mechtza Soichos. They say that it's an egg and a half, large ones, and that's actually way bigger than half of what a half a pras would be. So the point is that we see that the size tumah that we're talking about, even though it is half, and we call it half a pras, but it's not really mathematically really half. And that's why our Mishnah didn't want to list it, because if it listed it in our Mishnah, it would sound like it's closer to being mathematically accurate, that it's half of the shear that we gave beforehand. And in fact, the reality is that it's either way bigger or significantly smaller, so it's not accurate. So we don't want to list it. The Brisa says it because it's close enough, but the Mishnah doesn't say it because it's not accurate. Now, to finish off that thought, Uman Chachamah, who are these Chachamim that we just said that it's really a large egg? Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika. It's Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika that also said that we're talking about a large egg. That he said, he also said before, right, that we're talking about an egg and a large, two large eggs.
Well, this is an egg and a half, right? Because he has a larger loaf than.
Right, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekket, when he measured the shear last week and the size loaf of bread,
he had the six egg one,
which is right more than which is a third more than.
Right, I'm sorry. So he had the smaller loaf, right?
He had the right. Well, excuse me, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekket was the one who said that there were nine su'udos in a kav, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda that said that there were eight su'udos in a kav. With the cheshbon at the bottom. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekket was the one who said that it was smaller.
Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekket said that it was eight eggs in a loaf, but he said you only need a quarter of a loaf.
A quarter of a loaf.
Right, but his loaf was bigger. His shear was smaller.
Right. The amount that you needed per meal was smaller.
Right, but his
loaf was bigger. Okay.
I'm sorry. His loaf was smaller.
Smaller, right.
Right? Meir had the loaf. His loaf was nine, but he said you only need 2/3 of it. So
Meir's shear was actually bigger per meal. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekket's shear was smaller per meal.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekket was saying that you needed
an eighth of a loaf,
right,
per meal.
And Rabbi Shimon said you needed nine.
A ninth, right, per meal.
Or a third per loaf.
But he had a bigger loaf. He started off with a bigger loaf and ended up with a smaller shear, right?
Right.
Rav Yochanan ben Brekket said eighth of a kav, right, which is a bigger shear, but his loaf was half a kav, right?
Right. His pras was a half a kav.
Right. Rav Shimon said that that you only need 2/3 of a bigger loaf. So it's his loaf was bigger, but you only needed 2/3 of it for right. So
right.
He started off with a bigger loaf, but he said you don't need all of it for an eruv. So when we're talking in terms of loaf,
right?
Reb Shimon had the bigger shear, right? When you're talking about
Reb Yochanan ben Brekket had the bigger shear.
The bigger, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, so now the Gemara says, fine, so that's going according to Machacham, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekket. So Pshita, because according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekket, the Cheshbon works out, according to the way his calculations work out, that it's two Bayim, which is the same size that we're talking about. The Pras over here also is two Bayim. So Gemara says, you're right, that is consistent. However, Soich Kois Oslo Lash Me'inon. The point of the Chiddush over here that the Chacham are adding is that it's not two regular eggs, that it's large eggs. And that's why we brought this Braisa, even though the Chacham are, in fact, the same thing as Rabbi Yochanan ben Brekket. Now the Gemara goes on to a slightly different point, also calculation. Kiyas Rav Dimi, Omar, Shigar Bunayas, Bunayas is the name of a person sent, Larebi, he sent to Rebbe, Mudya de Kundis, Demin Neusa. He sent him the size from the city of Kundis. He sent him the from the city of Neusa. Right. He sent him a saw that they used to use, the size saw that they used to use in the city of Neusa. So, and he wanted to know how big is that size. Vashir Rebbe, and Rebbe, when he measured it, came out Maasan Vashiva Esrei. It came out that the size, there were 217 eggs worth in that bayin, in that egg. Sorry, that size saw contained 217 eggs worth, and that was the size. So the Gemara wants to know, hi saw de hecha, what size measurement, what was the closest measurement that we know of, that we use to be consistent with something that a shear that we're familiar with, that he came up with 217? If you're counting the size, the amount of eggs that would go into what we know that they used in the Midbar, it would come out to 144 eggs. So just very quickly, the math to that is, because there are a sa is made up of six kav, and a kav is four lug, and a lug is six bayim. So if you multiply that out, 4 times 6 times 6 is 144, which comes out 24 bayim to a kav, and there are six kav to the sa, right? And 6 times 24 is 144. Okay, so 144 clearly doesn't add up to 217. Fine. So, Idi Yushalmis, let's go to the next larger shear, Kufay and Gimel Havi. The Yushalmis was the fifth larger than, and contained a fifth more eggs than the size of the Midbarios, and a fifth more than 144. If you take a fifth of 140, that comes out to 28. 145 is 29. 29 plus 40, 144 is 173. Again, which is not close enough to 217. Vidi Tziparius, you add another fifth, so adding a fifth more of 270 is another 34. 34 plus 73 is 207. So Reish Zayin happened. So that only adds up to 207, which again is not enough to get you to the 217. So the Gemara answers, so where did he come up with this number? None of the shiurim that we're familiar with would have made sense for Rebbe to measure out and get to 217 eggs. The Gemara says, La'olam Tziparius. But really, he was counting the tziparis. He was starting with the basis of 207 eggs. I see chalsa, and he added on the amount that you would have taken for challah, because challah is an amount that you have to take off your loaf of bread. And v'shadi alayu, add that back on to your loaf of bread. So it's 207, theoretically, is the result of how many eggs you're left with after you take off challah, so you obviously had to start with a bigger shear. But the Gemara says that doesn't work out either, because chalsa kamahave, how many eggs worth of challah would you have taken off? Tamni. So you would have taken off 8th, because the challah is 24th. 1/24th of 207 is close enough to 8. So that only adds up to 215. You're still too short. So the Gemara says, Akati batzula, it's still too few eggs in order for him to come up with a measurement of 217. So Gemara says, Ella, forget what we said, the calculations that we said till now, let's start over again. I see va'idois de Rebbe, shadi alayu. Like we said before, remember, when Rebbe measured them, he said that the eggs we were talking about were really size eggs that were a little bit larger. And the larger was 1/20th more. So 1/20th of 200 is another 20 eggs, is another 10 eggs. So add 10 to the 207 that we have normally. Add those extra ones because they're a little bit larger, and you end up with 217 smaller eggs. And that's Shadi Alayo, you add it up and you end up with 217. So the Gemara says, Ihachi Havalo Tvei, because you have the other seven, so the extra seven that we didn't really count when we were counting 1/20th, Tafi, it comes out to a little bit more. So the Gemara says, Kivin Delay Havi Kabeya, since that extra doesn't add up, because 1/20th of seven is not really that much, it's less than half as Rashi makes a Cheshbon L'Choshevle, so we don't count it. So therefore, you're able to use the math of 217 approximately, and that's how he came up with measuring 217. So in other words, he used 217 small eggs, which is the equivalent of 207 slightly larger eggs. Okay, that's that Cheshbon. Now the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, so Yerushalmi is, the saw that they used when they were counting the Yerushalmius is Yisera Almidbarius Shtos, is 1/6 larger, and we explained before that it's a sixth bigger, which is the same thing, a sixth bigger of the larger shear, which is the same thing as saying it's a fifth bigger than the smaller shear. The Shel Tziparius Yisera Al Yerushalmius, and the Tziparius ones, which is the bigger shear, is also larger than the Yerushalmius shear Shtos, it's 1/6 bigger. Okay, that so far makes sense. Nimtza, as it comes out, Shel Tziparius, the largest shear, Yisera Al Midbarius, is larger than the smallest shear, Shlish. It's a third larger than the smallest shear. Now, that's not true, because the smallest shear, as we said before, was 144, and the largest shear was 207. So that a third of 140 is
close to 70 less.
It's 40 something, 48, approximately, and 48 plus 144 is only going to get you to 196. So it's not really accurate. So we want to know when we're counting the third, what third are we counting? Shlish deman. Whose third are we counting? Ilema shlish demidbarius, a third more than 144. So michti, shlish demidbarius kamehave, one third of 144. How much would that be? Arba and vitamin, it's about 48. So add that, v'ilu oitfa, shitin, vitlas, and if you want to add an extra 63,
And with the answer we need is 63.
Right, but Vilu Oitvan, the difference between 144 and the 207 is 63, so 48 is not close enough to 63. So that's not close enough to be considered a third. Ve'ela shlishti Yerushalmius, if you want to count a third of the Yerushalmius, shlishti da kamahava, how much is a third of 173? So the Gemara tells us, it does the math for us, chamshin v'tamina, that's 58. Nechitilsa, missing a third, so it's like 57 and two-thirds. Again, ve'ilu oidfa, how much is the difference between the smallest shear and the biggest shear? Shita v'tlas, it's 63. So 58 is not close enough to 63, keeping this really simple. Ve'ela, d'tzipayris, the shlish dida, kamah, let's look at how much a third of 207 is. Kamah dida, kamah haben shivin, it's 70. Mechichada, less one, so it's 69. So ve'ilu oidfa, again, what's the difference between the smallest shear and the biggest shear? The midbarius and the tzipayris, samach gimel, that's 63. So 69 is way bigger than 63. Ela Amar Rav Yirmiyah, so we're not counting the third in terms of the difference just straightforward between the difference of the shear of the amount of eggs in the smallest shear versus the amount of eggs in the biggest shear. It's not a third more. Ela Amar Rav Yirmiyah Hachi Kamar. So Rav Yirmiyah says what we're really measuring is over here. Nimtzas saw shel tzipayri, the saw that you're counting, when you count the tzipayris, yisera al midbariyos is more than the midbar karev lishlish shalah. Is the saw that's involved in the measurement is a third more than the saw that's involved in the measurement of the tzipayri. The tzipayri saw is a third more than the midbarius saw. The shlish shalah, and that third is karev lemechtza, the midbarius is actually close to half of that third, the size of the third is half of the midbarius. So that's easy, because we just said the third of the tzipayrius was 69. So that's close enough. And the half of the midbarios is also a half of 144 is also close to 70. It's 70 and a drop more. So 70, the half of the midbarios is the same amount as the third, as a third of the tziparius. So that's really what we're counting over here. It's not really, the two measurements compared to each other are not a third of each other, but rather the third extra. A third of the tziparius is equivalent to about a half of the midbarius. So that's what the Gemara, that's what he meant to say. So maskif la ravina. So, but the problem is, as we just said, one drop more than 70.
It's like 72.
Well, exactly. Half is 71 or 72. And the other one, a third, is only 69. So it's really off by a little bit more. And so far the Gemara has been, when numbers are off by more than one or two, we said that's not close enough. So maskif la ravina midi karev. Is it close? Midi karav katani. Does it say over here that it's close to a third? It doesn't say it's close to a third. So we're not counting the third of the. It can't be that we're counting a third of the midbarios. A third of the tziparios equals a half of the midbarios. Ela amar ravina hachigamar nimsas shlish shel tzipayri, a third of the tzipayri, ba'oidios shel Rabbi Yehuda, with the extra ones that Rabbi Yehuda counted with the 120th more. Is a third more al mechza shel midbarios shlish beya. It's a third more than half of the midbarios by one third. Okay, so what's the math here? The math here is that you have to add an extra 1/20.
Right, so the 217 that we had before.
The 217, a third so of 217 third of is closer to 73.
Right.
It's closer to the. Put it this way, a third of 210 is exactly 70. That's easy. Then you have another 7. A third of 7 is another
two
and a third. So you have 70 plus 2 and a third is 72 and a third. And half of the midbarios
72
is exactly 72. So right. That's why the 72 is the same as 72 and a third. It's off by one third, and that's what we mean. So it's a third is the third equals a half plus a third of a bayah. And the third, Rashi, according to Wamshan Rashi, the third of the bay is what we meant when we say it's a shlish. That the difference between them is one third. Okay. Now, we're not finished yet. Tana Rabbana. Then the Gemara says another brisa, once we're doing all these math things. Reishis arisoy seichem. So the pasuk that teaches us the concept that you have to take off chala uses that you have to take off the beginning, this is talking about the parsha of Mon, whatever you bake. So kedei asisaschem, the amount that you would use for dough when you're baking, when you're using the man. The kama asisaschem, and how much is that dough that you use? Kedei isas Hamidbar, it's the amount that they used in the Midbar. Kama Yisus Hamidbar, okay, very nice. So how much did they use in the Midbar? The Chsiv, so this is the math that we know. The Oimer Asiris HaEfer. We know that the Oimer was one-tenth of an Eifer. Now, one-tenth of an Eifer, it's really based on a pasuk that we see in Yechezkel. In Yechezkel, we compare an Eifer to a Bas. It uses the word of uses the word Bas, which is a different measurement, but it actually turns out to be the same amount as the Eifer. And it says Asiris HaEfer, a tenth of the Eifer. And a tenth of the Eifer, doing the math, comes at the 30 saw altogether. And a third of that is, a tenth of 30 saw is 3 saw. Right?
Well,
it's 3 saw.
An
Eifer is 3 saw. An Eifer is 3 saw. And there really comes out that there's 172 eggs in that amount. And if you take one tenth of that, so you end up with. Right? Am I saying it wrong?
I think if we do 144 times 3...
144 times... Oh, because there's three eighths, right. Right. 144 we establish as the amount of eggs in a saw. And there's three saw, so it's
442 is
432 beya, right? And then if you divide that by
10,
that's 43.2. Okay, so what does that help us?
Right.
So then you have 43.
So that's how many eggs, right?
That's how many, right.
And if you want to switch that to quarter eggs, right? Revine.
Right, a quarter of an egg.
A quarter of a kav, which, right? So you have to divide that by
four.
Six. By four, by six, right? Because there are six eggs, right? It's a quarter of a kav.
Six eggs in a roiva, right?
And there's 24, right? There are 24 eggs in a kav, and four rova in a kav. So that therefore, there's six eggs in a rova, right? So
right, so
divide 43 and a quarter and 43.2 by six, and that's where you get this
seven and a fifth. So 43.2 and divided by six.
It is
a little bit more than 7, right? Because 42 would be 7 exactly, so 43 is another 1/5. Okay, so you end up with 7 and a fifth, so that's what the Gemara says. Humikan amru zayin revoyim kamach va'oid. So if you use the amount of 7 revoyim kamach, which is approximately, right, 7 revoyim, though.
Right, 7
which
revoyim,
is,
right, which is, you, in other words, if you multiply that by 6, you'll get how many eggs that
is. Oh, right,
right,
so it's 43 eggs worth, which is a lot. Right, so if you end up with that amount, but then, chayavis b'chalav, so if you bake that amount of dough equal to 43 eggs, or as the Gemara says, it's 7 and a fifth of revoyim, which is just the same thing broken down to a smaller number, shehein vav yerushalmius, so that's all talking about by midbarius, that's the amount at 7 and a fifth, which is 6 Yerushalmius, because remember we said Yerushalmius are a sixth larger, so 7 and a fifth, you just do the math, equals exactly 6 Yerushalmius, Shehein Vahei Tzipari, which again, a sixth larger than that would mean 5 eggs of a Tzipari would fit into the same as 6 eggs of the Yerushalmi, which are smaller eggs. In any event, that was the amount that you have to use, and that's the amount that we use for baking now would be Chayav and Chalav. But what we see from that is Mikan Amr Ha'echol Kamidazu, if you eat this amount, which was the amount that they ate in the Midbar, which Hashem provided to them, Hareza Bari, that's considered a healthy amount of Mavarech, and therefore you have to make a bracha on that. Yeser Al Kain, if you ate more than that Rabson, then you're considered a glutton, you've eaten too much. Pachas Mikan Mikulko Bameyav, if you eat too little, then you're not getting enough nutrition. Okay, you with me? Okay. Next. The Gemara says, now we're going to go to a completely new topic. Slightly easier. The Mishnah, it's a new Mishnah. Anshei chotzer v'anshei mirpeses. Let's say you have a house, a structure that has people that live on the ground level and people that live on the upper level. So for argument's sake, when we start the Pashup Shah in the Mishnah of anshei mirpeses, people live on the porch. The Rashi says this is talking about a porch that is more than 10 tefachim off the ground. So each one of them, the people living on the ground level made their own Eriv, and the people living on the upper level also made their own Eriv. There are multiple people living on the top floor. They made an Eriv among themselves. But the problem is, Shashachu v'loi Irvu, and they didn't make an Eriv among themselves, in other words, between the upper level and the lower level. Now the question is, those things that are in the Chatzar, who gets the rights to them? So the Mishnah says, Kol shegavaya asar tefachim, anything that in the chatzar that is more than 10 tefachim high, so it's sort of part of it's more convenient for the people living on the upper level. Lemer pesa, so we give it to the people living on the upper level. They have access to it, and they don't need to make an area to use that area. Pachas mikan, but if it's less than 10 tefachim off the ground, lechatzar it belongs to the chatzar. That's the pashat way to read the Mishnah. We'll see in the Gemara next week that that's not exactly 100% accurate. It's not 100% belonging to the chatzar or 100% belonging to the aliyah. Okay, similar type of case. Chulyas habar. If you, in order to dig a well, you have to dig out the sand, the dirt to make the hole, and you take that dirt and you create like a wall, like a well wall around the pit. Similar, so that, and that well wall has a height to it. The hasela. Also, if you have a large rock that sits in the chatzar. So if it depends, again, if the height of the rock or the dirt around the well is 10 tefachim high, the merpesis, it goes to the guys living on the upper floor and the merpesis. Pachas mikan, if it's less than 10 tefachim off the ground, the chatzar belongs to the people living in the lower level on the chatzar. Now, when did we say all these halachas that if it's 10 tefachim high, it automatically goes to the merpesis, it belongs to the people on the upper level? That's only talking about the smucha. That's only talking about if the upper level, the object, the pedestal, is close to, is as Rashi say, four tefachim close horizontally to the people living on the upper level. Right. Aval b'muflegas, but if it's further away than that, in other words, it's not really so convenient for them, for the upper level. Afilu gvaya asar tefachim, even though it is more than 10 tefachim and theoretically less convenient for the people below it, l'chatzar, it belongs to the chatzar, as we'll see in the Gemara, that means also to the people in the chatzar. Ve'eza hi smucha, and the Mishnah says, what is considered close or too far? Kol she'ene rechayka arba tefachim, anything that is less than 4 tefachim away. So in other words, the people for the merpesis, they don't have to stretch out more than 4 tefachim to reach that pedestal. So then if it's more than 10 tefachim high plus it's less than 4 tefachim across, so then that's considered convenient enough that it's considered part of the reshus and it goes only to the merpesis. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to set up a couple of simple facts, basics, foundation ideas, and then we're going to ask the question based on our knowledge. Shita. It is common knowledge to us, or is obvious to us, l'zeb pesach. If you have two areas that didn't make an eruv among themselves, and then they both equally have a convenient access to, let's say, a reshus in between them, haynu chaloin, that is the same case as we learned earlier in the Masechta, where you have a window, an opening, which could be open, and it could not, and it could be closed. You could use it either way. So it's the same halacha chaloin sheben shtei chaseiros that has the same halachic status as when you have a window that's between two chaseiros. And the halacha is, if you recall, that they have the option of either considering it an opening and making an eruv together jointly, or they can consider it closed and they can make an eruv. They can each make an eruv separately. So the same thing is true about the chatzar that's equally convenient. They can either join together and make it an eruv among themselves, or they can consider it a separate reshus, and then in that case it would be aser to both of them. Now, lezeb is riko. Let's say you have an area that's in between the two chatzeres, and they both sides have the same inconvenience that they'd have to. It's more than 10 tefachim high. So haino koisel sheben beis chatzeres. That's the same thing as the rule that we learned when you have a wall that's more than 10 tefachim high situated between two chatzeres, that the halacha was that the wall is considered, each one of these cases, by the way, the middle area is its own reshus. It's a 4 tefachim wide. So the wall itself is its own reshus, and they're both usher unless they make an eruv together. But on top of the wall is mutter. Okay, so the same thing over here also, the wall is equally usher. Similarly, lezeb b'shilshul, if both of them can have the same, so to speak, inconvenience that they have to lower themselves or lower their object more than 10 tefachim below where they are. Let's say there's a ditch in between two chatzeres, haynu charitz, sheben beis chatzeres. That also is halacha that we learned earlier, that if it's similarly inconvenient for both of them, they cannot use it unless they make an eruv together. How about lezeb pesach or lezeb zriko? Let's say for one of them it's convenient. It's more the difference between their area and the in-between area is less than 10 tefachim away, so it's considered that's considered convenient. Well, the zeb is rika, but this, for the other person has an inconvenience that it's more than 10 tefachim high. Hand it to Rabbi Bar Avuna. That's Rabbi Bar Avuna's halacha that we learned on Daf Ayin Zayin, that since we always give it to the area that's more convenient, and we allow that, it's considered automatically part of the convenient chatzar, and the inconvenient chatzar can't use it at all. And similarly, Amar Rav Nachman, the zeb pesach, the zeb shilshul. If one of them again it's convenient for him that it's not so low off his area, but for the other person he could reach it, but it's more than 10 tefachim below where his rishus ends. So hanad Rav Shizvi, again, it's the same thing as Rav Shizvi says, that we give it to the area that's convenient, and it's automatically designated as part of the convenient rishus. Now comes our question. Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman now asks.
I think that's some Rav Shizvi, Amar Rav Nachman.
Oh, it's Rav Shizvi Yom Rav Nachman. Fine. So the next case is Lezeb Shilshul Lezeb Zrika. If you had a case where it's inconvenient for both of them, but one of them, if the inconvenience is because it's too low, and one of them, the inconvenience is because it's too high. So you have, imagine a Rishus that's really 20 tefachim from the bottom of one tap to the top of the other is 20 tefachim, and there's a ledge in between them that's equally equidistant 10 tefachim to each. So what's the halacha in that case? Do we say, on the one hand, it's equally inconvenient for both of them, so they both should, it should be usher unless they make an eruv, should be its own rishos? Or do we say that the reality is that lowering something down is, according to the Gemara, more convenient than throwing something up? And whenever there's a rule, the rule is that whenever it's convenient for one and inconvenient for the other, we give it to the more convenient rishos. So is the convenience of lowering a big enough convenience that we give it to the person, even though it's slightly inconvenient, compared to the inconvenience of throwing? So what's the halacha in that case? It's a machlekes. Amar Rav, shneim asurim. So Rav says, no, they're both inconvenient, and therefore they're equal to it, and they're both asur unless they make an eruv. Ushmul amar, noisanoisai, lezeh shebashilshul. You give it to the one that could lower things down, because shelezeh tashmisha benachas, because his use is considered easy, lezeh tashmisha bekosha, and to throw something up on top of it is considered hard. So it's very, very inconvenient. So we give it to the more convenient, because the rule is b'chol davar she'tashmisha lezeh benachas or lezeh bekosha, that one's convenient and one's inconvenient. We give it to the one that is considered more convenient. Okay, so then we'll do two more lines of the Gemara. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, anshe chatzar anshe mepeses, if you have the people that live on the bottom floor and the people live on the top floor, sheshachu v'lo irvu, and they forgot and they didn't make an eruv together. So the Mishnah told us, kol shegavai asara tefachim, the mepeses, anything that's more than 10 tefachim high, you give to the upper level. Pachas mikan l'chatzar, anything less than that, you give to the chatzar. Now, what are we talking about? Kosal kadaitach, my mepeses b'nei aliyah. We think that when we're talking about the merpeses, we're not talking about people living on the merpeses itself, which is, let's say, 10 or 11 tefachim high, and then the pedestal is mamish right there. Rather, we think it's talking about b'nei aliyah, people who live up in the attic. Now, the Gemara understands this to mean that the people living up in the attic are more than 10 or 10 tefachim away from the pedestal. The pedestal is, let's say, for argument's sake, 10 tefachim, and they live 22 tefachim high. So they're more than 10 tefachim away. And what does that mean? First of all, just explaining the case. Why do we call them merpeses? Because if they live up in the attic, they're all the way high up. Because salki merpeses, they have to go up on the porch in order to get up to that roof. So what do we see? We see that the Mishnah's ruling is we give it to the merpeses. We give it to the upper guy. Now let's think about that. The upper guy it's more than 10 tefachim down, which is slightly inconvenient, and the lower guy is more than 10 tefachim up, which is really inconvenient. And the Mishnah says, Beferish, we give it to the guys on the upper that have the slight inconvenience of dropping it down. So that the Gemara says, Alma kol lezeh b'shilshul, lezeh b'zrika, lezeh b'shilshul. So we see that we give it to the slightly inconvenient one, because comparatively, relatively speaking, it's more convenient than the guys who have to throw up. So we see that that's the rule, when even though they're both inconvenient, if one's more inconvenient, you still consider, relatively speaking, we give it to the less inconvenient. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the case of our Mishnah. The Kedamar Rav Huna, lo isim adar mevrepeses, hachanami lo isim adar mevrepeses. We'll stop over here. The Gemara says the case is that rather we're giving it to the people, not that they live in the aliyah, which is really inconvenient, they're so high up, but rather the guys, we're talking about people who actually live on the porch, that they're less than 10 tefachim away from this pedestal. So to them, it's just a step. To them, it's really part of the same rishus, and that's why it's considered lezeh ben achas ulezeh bezrika. That one's easy and one's totally easy and one's totally not easy. So of course, we're going to give it to the people who have a very easy, convenient way of reaching it. So we don't know the answer of what it would be if they're both inconvenient, but one's more inconvenient than the other. All we know is that when one's considered convenient. And one's considered inconvenient, we give the rishos to the convenient one, and that's considered part of the same rishos. Okay,